PR is made possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois. Support for today's broadcast is provided by World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods at 6th and University in Champaign. For over 14 years, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of cheeses, olive oil, balsamic vinegar, spices, chocolates, cookies, and more. Catering services are also available. World Harvest encourages you to join them in supporting public radio.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. Celeste Quinn is away. I'm Tom Rogers, the news director at WILL, filling in for today and, in fact, a fairly familiar face, familiar voice, too, on the other side of the mic today. I'll be filling in, actually, for the rest of the week for portions of the Afternoon Magazine, including talking with the dog people, your questions about dog behavior coming up on Friday. We'll have guest hosts, in the 1 o'clock hour coming up for the rest of this week. But this is your chance on this Monday afternoon to give us your questions, your comments, your suggestions on how to make WILL AM 580 better. And here to join us is our station manager and interim general manager, Jay Pierce. Good afternoon, Jay.
Thanks, Tom, and good afternoon.
And you switch from being the host of the Afternoon Magazine to the guest on the Afternoon Magazine. Very smooth transition, I hope, at least.
We try to be flexible here.
All right. We ask for your calls. This is a call-in program, and it's not possible without your comments and questions. The number is to call 333-9455 in the Champaign-Urbana area and in Illinois and Indiana elsewhere. 1-800-222-9455, a toll-free call, 333-WILL, 1-800-222-WILL. And we'll start right now with a call on line 4 in Indiana. Good afternoon.
Hello. I'd like for you to have a program where you have your agricultural people on again. It was some time ago that you did that. I don't even remember when it was. But I'd like to ask some questions of them sometimes.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
I can't remember the last time. When did we have Dave? I don't know if it was in the Dave Dickey era. It may have been before that.
Yeah, it might have been. We'll check on that, and I'll pass that along. That's a good idea. I know from time to time we have Ed Kieser on, and I come on from time to time, and Tom, and we've had our chief engineer on, and I think it'd be a good idea. Have the agricultural folks on, so I'll pass that along to Harriet Williamson, the producer, and we'll see where it goes. Thanks for the suggestion.
And thanks for your call. I've heard that before, you know, people talking about, you know, they hear all these, the jargon of agriculture and commodity trading, and hear it all the time, your dead cat bounces and your fundamentals and your technicals, and it'd be interesting to devote a program to what that's all about.
Yeah, that would be good. I thought we might talk about election programming, Tom, since we're talking about things related to the radio stations and what's coming up. And we have quite extensive array of election programming.
It's going to be a busy season coming up.
Yeah,
it
is.
A month to go before the elections.
A couple of the things that that I might mention is that include Thursday nights we're doing what we call simulcasts. That's programs that are on both radio and television. Of different things, and we had a reporter roundtable last week, and we repeat these programs after broadcasting them live on Thursday night on the AM station, on this station, on Saturdays at 5 o'clock. This week we'll have the 19th Congressional District candidates, John Shimkus and Tim Bagwell. They'll be featured at 7 o'clock on Thursday. After that, at 8 o'clock, we have the first of the presidential debates. NPR's coverage will begin at 8. And in the interim, we also have programs throughout the week on Focus 580 and the Afternoon Magazine, opportunities for you to call in and talk to candidates. And Tom, this week, I think they scored a coup because they have all three of the candidates in the 103rd State House race lined up. And that begins tomorrow morning in the 10 o'clock hour of Focus 580. Deborah Frank Finan, the Republican candidate, and then on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, Naomi Jacobson, the Democrat incumbent. And then Friday morning at 10 o'clock, Tom Mackeman, who is the Socialist Equality Party candidate. Your opportunity to not only hear from, but call in and talk to the candidates and ask them your own question. You know, sometimes the media gets buffeted by people who say, well, you don't ask the right questions. If I were on there, I'd ask. Well, here you go. Here's your chance.
What the process is in every election season is that our producers call out to the various candidates in selected races, including, you know, obviously fairly tightly contested races like the 103rd Representative District, and ask for the candidates to come on the air and field those questions. It's a challenge for the candidates, of course, but as servants of the people. That's mm-hmm. that's what you're supposed to do, I suppose. They've been very grateful and supplying their time to come over for an hour. And once again, it's up to listeners to supply a lot of the material for that show, mm-hmm. asking their questions, what they feel, what you feel are important issues as we head into this election campaign. And you know, these may be races that are overshadowed by the presidential race and other things. So we're very happy to present all three candidates in that race in specific. Well, a little bit later on, I believe that Representative Johnson has agreed to appear on a show. I don't know if we have an agreement yet from David Gill, the 15th District Democratic candidate, but we mm-hmm. certainly are in touch with his campaign. And we would like to bring a few more people in possibly, but those are the candidates we have in the race this year. And, mm-hmm. and we've gotten some Senate candidates before. We hope to maybe arrange that before the end of the campaign season, although it's kind of late in the game right now.
Yeah. And as far as issues go, health care is a big one. So a week from tomorrow night, we're working with our television station, WILL-TV, and putting together a program called Electing Healthcare. And this will be an hour-long live discussion and analysis of the healthcare policies of the presidential candidates. And this will begin at 7 o'clock. It'll be right before the 8 o'clock broadcast of the vice presidential debate. And we'll have representatives of the presidential campaigns, the College of Medicine, and Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois, the College of Nursing as well, coming together with all of these groups to put this program on, which will be distributed statewide to public television and radio stations in Illinois. And that, again, is Electing Healthcare, and that'll be on a week from tomorrow night at 7.
It's going to be a pretty unique opportunity to not only get, you know, the political positions of the two major candidates for president, but also analysis of those positions by mm-hmm. healthcare professionals and academics. It's right. it's not often that you hear more than possibly boilerplate on some topics. You know, mm-hmm. we want all Americans to be healthy and the like, but you know, they have specific positions that the campaign has put out, and you know, the panel of experts from IGPA and the College of Nursing and other places will be there to maybe look at those a little finer tooth comb than we normally here. One thing to clarify, we do have David Gill, the congressional candidate, coming on the Focus 580 program. That's coming up October 25th, and then that's a Monday, and then the end of that week, the 29th, Tim Johnson,
right.
Congressman Tim Johnson will be on.
Great. And we also have an extensive website with schedules, archived audio of different interviews and programs that we feature leading up to the election at will.uiuc.edu. You can go there. It's your complete resource center.
This is an open line call-in to ask your questions of Jay Pierce, our station manager at WILL, AM and FM. In fact, for the moment, you can give him a call at 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455 and offer your suggestions or your comments. Let's go again to a line four and a caller in Mattoon. Good afternoon.
Hi, how about a spot on your web pages where you could include some really good instructions on how to build a really good antenna optimized to your stations? And you might want to include a variety of designs because I live way out in the wilderness and I could stretch 1,000 foot of wire, but I imagine there's people that live in the town apartments that wouldn't have quite that much space. Even during the daytime, it's can be pretty difficult for me to get receive your signal in certain places.
That's mm-hmm. been a topic in previous Talk to the Engineer shows, in fact.
That's a great idea. Maybe we can do that. And okay. I'll pass that along to our engineering staff.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for listening down there in Mattoon. We might as well mention a couple of things because a lot of times we don't really have the time to come on the air and talk about some of the internal things that happen here at the radio station. You mentioned my variety of titles that I've had over the past year or so. I've been program director of AM 580 for 6 years, going on six and a half now. And a year ago when Dan Simeone retired as station manager after 17 years, I took that on as an interim position for a year, and that's now been settled. So now I'm officially station manager. You can drop the interim and still program director, and we hope that we'll be having somebody else take the program director title pretty soon. Doing two jobs like that has been very satisfying for
us. I don't think you've
sent
out the internal email for that, actually. So.
Well, we're waiting for my boss to do that, but that's pending all of the official paperwork at the university. But we think that's going to be settled, which is good. I think that we could also mention that Ed West, who has been our chief engineer for as long as most people can remember. On radio and before that, a member of the engineering staff and guided us through many, many technical changes and brought us into the new building, Campbell Hall, has retired, although he's here on a volunteer basis as we move into the new administration and engineering. And Rick Finney has joined us as the new chief engineer. He comes to us from Michigan. So we're glad to welcome Rick. And we look forward to his tenure. And
like we said earlier, we may be inviting him to a Talk to the Manager show.
Right. Too. So I'm going to bring it up to him and see what he thinks about maybe sharing some expertise or Ed before he goes and put that on the website. That's a great idea.
Well, what about your questions or comments for AM 580? 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. Plenty of open lines. And give us a call. Tell us what you think. Let's go to line one right now in Urbana. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi. Is that I?
That would be you.
Everything, almost everything, is just wonderful on WILL. But I have one question. Please, please, please bring back Terry Gross.
Terry Gross, okay.
And you know, I sometimes tune in this woman, Gretchen, whatever her name is.
Helfrich.
She chirps. Her voice is so awful to hear.
You know, I'm going to see her the day after tomorrow. I'm going to see her the day after tomorrow. I'm going to tell her.
Yeah, she chirps. I mean, it's extremely irritating, and she interrupts.
Yeah.
And it's very superficial. Mm-hmm. I find her guests may be first rate, but it's a totally unsatisfying program.
Okay.
I used to like walking between 3 and 4 and listening to Terry Gross, and now I enjoy the birds and the trees.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, is it possible? I know it's expensive.
No, it's not right now. I'll just give you the short answer. No, it's too expensive. We can't afford it right now. That doesn't mean we'll never do it, okay?
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you.
Are other people saying the same thing?
Some. Although, you know, I have to tell you, it's an interesting thing. Since Fresh Air went off the air a year ago and Odyssey took that slot, the audience has increased for the 3 o'clock hour.
I don't know why. Well, all I can do is express my opinion.
I know this
is a democracy, and you'll, even though sometimes I wonder about what's going on in Washington, but that's another story.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you much for the comment. And, I'm not trying to be cute or anything about it. And we have, you know, we have comments on both sides about Odyssey and on both sides about Fresh Air. The fact of the matter is that when we made the decision to take Fresh Air out of the schedule, it was a tough one. It's a very expensive program. It's a very good program, but it's very expensive. And I just have to put it all out on the line. We over the past several years have had to deal with the decline in our tax-based support. That's the state, university, and federal support. And over the past 3 years, our support from listeners has increased, but not as much. not by as much as the tax-based support has declined and costs have gone up. So we've had this widening gap that we've had to try to deal with. And we have left positions unfilled. The news department is short-staffed by 25%. Well, 50% right now, but we are hiring a successor to Ali Kewa, who has moved on to another position at another place. And, you know, we've been dealing with the fact, well, as I mentioned, I've been both the interim station manager and program director, and we've been short in a couple of other, well, actually every division, every department in the Division of Broadcasting has left positions unfilled. And it's been a tough thing to deal with. Programmatically, we've tried to maintain the programs as best we could. Fresh Air is a very expensive program. And it was honestly, it was a choice between Fresh Air or, and I've gone over the list before, like six or seven other programs. And, you know, when the situation, and I say when because I know it will turn around, listener support will catch up and close that gap. And the state's finances will get better. It's going to happen. We have some other initiatives taking place internally here that are going to help. But when it happens, you know, the Fresh Air was not taken off the air because I or anybody else here at the radio station hated the program. It was a financial thing. If you remember back 10 years, I think it was Car Talk wasn't on the station for a while for a financial thing. Tough decisions that just have to be made sometimes. I hope we can bring it back at some point. Odyssey is a program that I think continues to mature, and I'm serious about the fact the audience has increased and in the 3 o'clock spot. So somebody's out there listening and appreciating it.
All right, let's go on. Our calls, we've still got a couple of lines available, 1-800-222-9455 or in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Line two now in Champaign. Good afternoon.
Hi. Yes, I was calling to say that I was not a Terry Gross fan and very happy when it was taken off the air. I think that the Odyssey with Gretchen is almost equally inane, but at least better. But I really actually enjoyed the programs that you were running before you hooked up with Odyssey at that 3 o'clock time. I can't remember each title, but they were different.
Yeah.
They were very
a whole bunch
interesting.
Of different ones, yeah.
Pardon me?
A whole bunch of different ones.
Right. So that was, I enjoyed the variety. And then the other thing is I would put in a plug for anything that's like, I think many years ago you had a BBC science section.
Mm-hmm.
And I would put a vote in for some high-quality program like that.
Oh, okay, good. Well, I'll put that down. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are committed to one more year of Odyssey under our current contract with the program. Not necessarily that it has to run at 3 o'clock, but we do need to run it for another year. Mm-hmm. And I'll mention that Chicago Public Radio has been good at working with us on that. They're giving us that program. While they are charging other stations, we get it free. Because we were one of the first stations to air it on a week, you know, the weekend basis that we did.
Right.
And so they're helping us out. So we get that free, and that'll be on probably for, you know, another year. We'll assess it as the year goes on to see.
All right. Let's go on to line three now. Caller in Champaign, good afternoon.
Hello. I like almost everything about the way the station operates, but there is one program that comes on where people call in where they're traveling to get the weather or where they're going, and I don't understand the general interest of that program because I'm not traveling to that place, so it seems to be just for one person.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I like everything about the way the station operates.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
The talk to the weather person or meteorologist segment when Ed's on is, it's a unique thing. It's a service, you know, that you can call up and
it's been done for
and
decades.
And get it.
I think, right?
Yeah, it's been on for a long time, and you know, a couple of 10-minute periods during the week where you can call in and do that, and you know, it's a service like when we have Hank Spees on or something offer a service, and so I don't know, probably not everybody's cup of tea, but it's you know, a lot of people.
It'd be very tough to
take
run
advantage
a radio,
of it.
Tough to run a radio station where everything appealed to everybody.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, a lot of people do take advantage of it. You know, the phones light up and that. So
And our phones are lining up now, and we'd like to hear your comments. Let's go to line one right now in Champaign. Good afternoon.
Hi. Fresh air. It was great. I'd love to have it back. I don't think it was inane. Certainly there were entertainment topics, but also, you know, there were some real interviews. She interviewed Paul O'Neill while the rest of NPR was too timid to touch that story. Anyway, that's not why I called. You had a great show on with Bob McChesney last week, and he was talking about the effect of, you know, federal legislature and state legislature on radio budgets. I don't think this is something that, that a lot of public radio listeners are exposed to, and I wondered if there's a reason why you can't bring this home. I think you'd find across the country millions of more people would take an interest in this if radio stations actually, you know, brought it to the foreground. That's all.
The federal budget in what way? Was I didn't hear the show. You there?
Yeah. What I'm saying is, okay. He was
how it impacts public radio stations?
You were just talking about this. Your funding's been cut every year hard for the past 3 years especially. And I don't think people see this as a political issue that they have the power to affect. And I think, you know, while everyone is responsible for their own information, you guys are in a great position to make sure that people are aware of this and that, you know, that you're not just begging for money.
Yeah.
I pledge. I do.
Thank you.
But, you know, that they have more power to affect this. Is there a reason why you can't do that? I think if public radio, especially at Pledge Drive, you know, talked about this particular issue, making sure that people talk to their representatives about it, we might see a different scenario.
All right. Well, thank you much. Yeah, I'll say a few words about that. Thanks for bringing that up because, I don't know, sometimes maybe we think it's self-serving to get on and campaign for ourselves. The money that we get when we talk about federal government is allocated from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They also fund public television. They fund some individual programs. They don't fund NPR directly, except by funding some of the programs they do. We get an allocation called the Community Service Grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting every year, and radio stations around the country file for these. You have to meet certain qualifications. Not every station that gets it is called public radio as we know it. Public radio is a big umbrella thing. You don't have to be a national public radio station to be considered a public radio. But anyway, the long and the short of it is that the grants are basically determined by how much money Congress has authorized or appropriated to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and then there are formulas that stations use, how many people you serve, how much money you raise locally, then they divvy up that appropriation among all of these stations. What's been happening in large part is that there has been an expansion in the number of public radio stations or translator stations around the country. So while the appropriation is kind of held steady, each individual station's piece of the pie has gotten smaller. Now, this year, because of the way the formula worked out and the money that we bring in locally, the support that we get here from our listeners, when we take to the air in October with our fall pledge drive, we won't be uttering the line, "Our federal support went down," because it actually went up a bit. However, I use that very carefully when I say that because it did go up, but the increase in costs from the various program suppliers the increase in personnel costs here at the university and other things have gone up by more than that went up. So at least we didn't lose any more ground, but we didn't really gain much ground. You know, it kind of offsets some of the other increases we're experiencing.
Plus, we have the other funding sources like the state of Illinois, like the University of Illinois, that have had their own budget situations over the past few years.
And we're not losing ground on those right now, significant ground. We did get a little bit more in the federal support, but, you know, it's a matter of, okay, we gained $20,000, $30,000 here, but the costs went up $40,000 or $50,000. And so, you know, you're still losing a little ground there. And, I guess one of the things that you can do if you want to is call your congressman Call Tim Johnson, call John Shimkus, and Tim Johnson is on the Public Broadcasting Coalition out in Washington, and our caucus, rather. And you can say, you know, when this legislation comes up reauthorizing the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and that's being considered right now, we think it's a good thing. Go ahead and vote for it. And you can call the senators, too. And just make sure Corporation for Public Broadcasting gets reauthorized and continues. I don't think there's a huge question that it will, but you never know. It's politics.
All right. We're talking with Jay Pierce, station manager, new, no longer interim station manager at WILL AM and FM Radio.
Subject to approval. You know, the whole, yeah. Approval.
That's right. That's right. And this is your chance to field.
Upstairs.
Your chance to give questions to him, ask him about WILL Radio and offer your comments as well. And we go now to line two in Champaign. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
I have to go back to the Terry Gross saga. I'm one of those who had stopped listening to her. I just went to I listened to WILL all day long, and I just went to the FM station when she was on. And I think this, I agree with the earlier caller, this Gretchen is no great bargain either. And I know you must have lots of things in mind when you select programs, and I had wondered if you have a commitment to having a woman, and, you know, maybe that's part of the thing that limits you. But I also don't know how many other people heard Terry Gross interviewed on a public radio maybe a week or so ago, and I thought, well, I'll really pay attention to that because I've had this break from her for quite a while. And as I listened to that, and I was sort of taken back, and I thought, now I know why I didn't like her. Terry Gross interviews are mostly about Terry Gross, and that's not why I listened to interview shows. And she was very critical of people she had interviewed, and I was reminded of some of those interviews. I had heard them, and they were not very informative, and there was a kind of a hostile edge to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm just going on that list of people who, yeah, I go so far as to leave the station. Well, I only go to FM, but I think a lot of people just got really kind of tired of, and some days I listened to her and I thought, you know, somebody needs to tell her it's not 1972. And I don't mean to be beating up on her, but I just think she needed a rest, and I hope she takes a sabbatical and maybe gets a fresh look at things, you know, if you're going to have her back on the station.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, almost every single thing I find enjoyable and informative, and I appreciate the station very much.
Well, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much. And we're glad we have the FM there for you. As I said, we've committed to Odyssey. It's the why of the program. Well, an interview program that I think it's more based on the topics that they cover. When we auditioned the program, listening to the way it went, it was in its this is a program that airs in the noon hour on WBEZ in Chicago. That's when it's live, and we run it on a delayed basis here. And I guess it's a matter of giving it time to mature. Is it maturing the way we hoped or thought it might? I don't know. We're taking comments on that, and we'll see. As for the interim programs, you know, Tom, that was a matter of we were running Commonwealth Clubs, National Press Clubs.
Some of these programs which we air during the evening hours on AM. So.
Yeah, and then some other specials that came up. And I got to tell you that, you know, we had a good response to that. I've mentioned the decrease in personnel that we've had here. And at the time, I was program director and doing Morning Edition and trying to schedule all these noon hour shows and pull them all together and get them on the air and plan. And you know, it was insane trying to keep up with that.
There's a deep list of programs out there, yeah. But man.
Oh, there's hundreds to choose from.
Having to listen to all of them first.
Yeah, audition them,
right.
Pick the topics, schedule them, get them recorded, get them played back. It was unwieldy trying to do that. So we'll see. You know, maybe when we hire a new program director, that person will, you know, have their say in how they want to do it. But you know, it's I appreciate all the comments, and we do keep these. I will file these after the program.
We have a full phone bank. Line 3 in Urbana. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, line 3.
Okay, Jay. I guess I have to weigh in against Gretchen in the 3 o'clock hour.
Okay.
It's the sing-song Chicago suburban brat girly voice that just drives everybody I talk to crazy. And when you say that the listenership in the 3 o'clock slot has increased, I simply do not believe you, because everybody I talk to has pretty much the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
There's no dialectic here. There's no thesis. There's no antithesis. Controversial subjects with no controversy on the show. Her guests always agree with each other. You know, there's never any debate over a controversial question. Mm-hmm. And it's just inane. And I guess Terry Gross has been on the job too long. I think the caller's criticism was right. But couldn't we pick up the English language service of another national radio, like either Deutsche Welle or Radio Nederland or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I'll say.
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. I appreciate the comments on that. And as for looking at something else, well, BBC does the News Hour. That was under consideration. There are other programs that have come up since then that are available from other sources. And as I say, we'll, you know, mark these comments down, and we'll, when we sit down to assess this, we'll take a look at it. The 3 o'clock hour is a good hour, and yeah, I'm serious. I get the in each of the survey periods since Fresh Air went off the 3 o'clock time slot, there have been two survey periods now, and the audience has been larger in each of those than it was during Fresh Air. In fact, Fresh Air was not one of the more listened to programs throughout the day on the station.
We try to make ratings as scientific as possible, but
yeah,
they certainly aren't perfect.
And we don't go purely on ratings. That's not the only bit of information that we use when we're assessing programs. But, you know, we do have to feel that if we're going to be spending that much money on a program, and it would be this year, I'm thinking it would be nearly $15,000 for Fresh Air. I think that we do have to make sure it's serving a significant audience if we're going to invest our listener contributions in it.
All right. Line 1 now in Mattoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Before I start, Jay, you have my approval.
For what?
For your new position.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Good to know that.
In essence, I am inclined to agree with your last several callers on their comments about the 3 o'clock slot and Terry Gross and the voice problem with Gretchen.
Okay.
I have one other comment to make. Money is always a problem, and might you entertain the idea of getting rid of Dr. Science? And I know you're going to say, well, it doesn't cost very much, but, you know, we who budget, we cut where we can. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for your call.
You.
We've made it through another Talk to the Manager show, and Dr. Science has been mentioned.
Yeah, I will pass that on to Celeste and Harriet. They produce this program, and I try not to micromanage.
Is there anything else to say about Dr. Science?
I don't know.
It always has its fans. It has its detractors.
My personal opinion, we spend too much time talking about it, I suppose. But my fear is if we took it off, then we'd have to talk about it from all the people that were saying, you know, where did it go? I liked it. Doesn't anyone have a sense of humor?
And if you don't know what we're talking about, it's on in 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's a tough one, but we continue talking about it. Yeah, that show, it does cost money. It costs a few hundred dollars a year.
All right.
So in the grand scheme of things, not a lot of money, but you know, what could we do with a few hundred dollars? Well, Tom, you could have a better motel room when you go to a convention.
I wouldn't want to kill Dr. Science just for that.
So, I don't know.
All right. With that having been said, line 2 in Champaign. Good afternoon.
Oh, come on.
Do you like Dr. Science?
Line two? Hello, line two.
Did we lose line two?
I don't know. Am I line two?
Yeah,
you are line two.
Yeah, you're line two.
Okay, I'm just doubling in brass on getting rid of the number three slot at 3 o'clock. It's trivial, inane.
Okay.
I turn the WIL off immediately when that program goes on.
Okay.
I'm open to any suggestions for if people don't feel that Terry Gross, but certainly she was smart, intelligent, and lively. A magazine section is useful, but this, even if it's free, I'd rather listen to a musical interlude than those people. They just drive me angry by the triviality of it. And the subject matter is without any content, and I agree with everybody. So I won't go any further because everybody's pretty much said what I had been meaning to say for some time.
No, but it's good that you echo it because I can put a little tally mark next to it. Then.
Yeah, I happen to like Dr. Science, and it doesn't last very long. And it's a nice way, it seems to me, to tell people that there are serious matters, and that's essentially the message of Dr. Science.
Yeah,
science is very serious matter, and by trivializing it the way they do and making it humorous, I think it underlines the fact that this is tough stuff.
Okay.
And, anyway, that's my point.
That's good perspective. Do you have a duck's breath mug? I just wonder if you have your duck's breath.
I don't need any mugs for that. Okay. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
I love WILL. So
well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And as you said, the show doesn't last very long.
Yeah.
Line four now in Spring Bay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, I got to vote for Terry Gross. I like the national scope of the people that she oftentimes would interview. They're people that are currently working in the arts or writers or what have you. And I just think she kind of had a bigger cast than what Gretchen has coming out of Chicago, and I find oftentimes her topics are rather academic and contrived. But my main comment is this, and I'd like to ask your opinion and maybe anybody else who might be listening. I'm kind of getting the sense that since this whole West Coast production wing came online, that a lot of the programming has become softer, kind of times I feel like I'm listening to People magazine, listened to Sound Money for years and years and years, and now it's moved to the West Coast. And I just kind of feel like the content has, it's not quite as interesting or as in-depth. So general comment, feeling like this West Coast Hollywoodization of NPR is sort of weakening some of the content. I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Big fan of the station. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks
all
for
right,
the call.
Thank
now,
you very
now
much.
There are a couple of situations there because NPR has opened what they call NPR West, a brand-new production facility in L.A., and Sound Money actually comes from another program supplier.
Yeah.
It was PRI. Is it American Public Media now?
I think
they've made that switch, and they've moved some of their stuff out to California as well.
Yeah, Marketplace Productions is doing that now, and it sounds more like the program Marketplace, which we chose not to air on this station because it sounded like that. I'm going tomorrow to leave and go to the Public Radio Program Directors Convention in San Antonio for 3 days, and we'll be talking about these things, and that's why I wanted to do this program today. I'll be taking these comments down. I've never heard anybody put it quite like that, that it's like People Magazine, but I am going to pass that along to the powers that be. When you do talk to the folks at NPR and the other networks, you say to them, well, you know, you're trying for this hipper sound, and they deny they're going for a younger demographic. They deny that it's a dumbing down. But a lot of listeners that I talk to seem to think it is. And it's kind of frustrating for me to carry that message and go, well, you know, how can you stand there and tell me that you're not doing that? But that's the perception listeners are getting, and the value of the programs to them has changed in a Sound Money. Personally, I'm a little disappointed in Sound Money, and I've passed those comments along a couple of times. I think that Chris Farrell, let me just put it this way. I think you can provide the information straightforward without the gimmicks and the little the fancy writing, you know, everything's got I don't know. It to me has lost a lot in the last few years.
I was going to mention one word, but I probably would get in big trouble if I said it. Kind of smarmy.
It is smarmy.
Can you sort of
I think
pick
it
that
is.
Up too?
Everything's got to be shorter. It's like, it to me, is insulting that they think that I don't have an attention span that can listen to the information as long as there's an engaging host. I think since Bob Potter retired from the program, they've had trouble finding a voice for it.
Maybe edgy is a little better word for that.
Well, they're trying to be.
Maybe a positive word, at least.
It's tough. It's tough, and it's hard to – I don't know, but there's no really good alternative to Sound Money, and I think the information is still good when you get it, but it's
the vehicle.
There you go.
Line 3 in Peoria. Good afternoon.
Hi. My question had to do with more of a technical consideration mm-hmm. rather than content. It had to do with switching the transmitter from high to low power, and not so much that, but the seasonal variation and, mm-hmm. and why you do that.
Okay, well, I can tell you, we have to protect a station that's in Topeka, Kansas. And what happens is, as the sun goes down, radio signals bounce off the ionosphere, which they don't do during the day,
sure.
and they go farther. And so what happens is, if we stayed on at our full power, as the sun was going down, our signal would bounce to the west even sure. farther than it does, and we don't broadcast west very much, even during the day.
Yeah.
But then it would interfere with that station and others on 580 around the country or adjacent frequencies, so that's the deal. We have to really power down at night so we don't do that.
Hmm. Well, I've listened to 580 after you go to low power, mm-hmm. and I haven't been able to receive anything. It seems like in this area, it's a clear channel.
Yeah, well, the problem is we can't harness it in just to within like 120 miles or something, because once, if we get over this 100 watts or 300 watts, we gradually go from 5,000 watts down through 300 till about 6 o'clock and then down to 100, or in the wintertime even earlier because, the sunset comes earlier.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, if we were much over that, you can't really harness it in to just hit, 100, 120 miles away. It'd keep bouncing. So we got to really bring it down local and not let any of that escape.
So what is the lowest power that you broadcast at night?
100 watts.
100?
Yeah, and it covers about two-thirds of Champaign-Urbana.
Really?
Yeah, it's basically we're in what's known as a daytime station.
Sure.
And till about 10 years ago or so, the station used to actually go off the air at night. But stations were allowed then from the FCC to broadcast at anywhere from 100 watts to some as low as like 2 or 3 watts.
Mm-hmm.
And in some areas, just to be on at night at all, and that's kind of what happened here.
Well, it's not that I disagree with switching from high to low power or anything, because I take advantage of that with a station in Hancock County that switches off, I believe, mm-hmm. and that way on 990 I can listen to CBC Radio 1 from Winnipeg.
Yeah, the Carthage station goes off at night, right.
If it weren't for that, I wouldn't be able to receive CBC as well.
Right. Well, that's the idea. Some stations have the priority. It's kind of like, the carpool lane. I guess they get the priority.
Sure.
And so those of us on these frequencies need to go off. So
sure.
That's the physics of it.
Thanks for the clarification.
Okay. Thank you for the call.
Thanks for your call. We'll get one, maybe shoehorn two more in. We've got somebody holding on a cell phone, but I don't think we'll be able to get you if you're listening and you're on that cell phone, unfortunately. Let's go to a line one in Urbana. Good afternoon.
Hi. I like Odyssey, and I also liked Terry Gross because they talk about things that I don't hear otherwise on the station.
Mm-hmm.
And I found her delivery a bit annoying at first. Then I thought to myself, so what? I can handle it. It's she's a different age than I am. And why not maybe appeal to a variety of audiences? Not everything has to meet all of my needs and all of my preferences.
Mm-hmm.
You got to reach a lot of people. And a public radio isn't going to survive unless you do find ways to continually bring in the upcoming generations. I'd also like to say to everybody out there, we can all help by increasing our contributions. You're worth a lot to me. If I think about it in terms of how much per day I'm willing to spend on WILL, and I've gained so much and saved so much money, if you want to put it in a really crass sort of way, the things I've saved money on because of the knowledge I've gained, and also because I just feel like it's a whole other education. And I like the fact of being exposed to different things. If I don't feel like listening to something, I just turn it off, and it's probably good I get something else done. I'm listening to WYLL 24 hours a day, so that's what I wanted to say. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you very much, very much for those well-thought-out comments, too.
All right.
And for your support.
That will do it for our calls this afternoon. We have a couple more lined up. I don't think we'll be able to make it to those. Thanks for calling in. And if we didn't get to your call, there is a way for you to send in your comments, a number of ways.
Sure. I'll be gone until next week, but you can call me, 333-0850. And leave a message if I'm not here, and I'll get back to you. You can email us at WILLAMFM@UIUC.edu, or you can call the listener comment line at 333-0853 and leave a message, or mail us 300 North Goodwin, Urbana, 61801. And all that information's on our website at WILL.UIUC.edu as well. And thanks to everyone who called, and sorry to those we couldn't get to, but we will do it again.
And thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Tom.
Jay Pierce, station manager of WILL Radio. It's now 9 minutes before 2 o'clock, and settlement prices are in from the Chicago Board of Trade. Todd Gleason has those numbers. Hi, Todd.
Actually, it's Dave.
That would be Dave.
Numbers. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
We want to tell you that both corn and soybean futures ended today's trading session, posting moderate gains, perhaps bolstered by a modest technical bounce that were attributed to oversold market conditions. Meanwhile, over in that wheat pit, we saw pressure there by improved U.S. winter wheat planting conditions due to recent rains and the nearbys on the downside and the defensive all day today. Let's go ahead and look at the particulars beginning in the wheat pit. December, a high on the day of 325, a low of 317, settling 320.5, down 1.25. March, a high of 336.5, a low of 329, settling 332.75, down 1.25. May, a high of 341, a low of 336.5, settling 338.5, up a half. July, a high of 344.5, a low of 337.5, settling 341.25, unchanged. September wheat, a high of 350, a low of 345, settling 347, unchanged on the day. December corn, a high of 211, a low of 204.75, settling 207.75, up 2.5. March, a high of 220.25, a low of 215.5, settling 218.25, up 2. May, a high of 227, a low of 222.5, settling 225.25, up 2.5. July, a high of 232.75, a low of 228.5, settling 231.25, up 2.25. September, a high of 238.5, a low of 235, settling 237, up 2. December corn, a high of 244.75, a low of 241.75, settling 244.25, up 2 on the day. December oats, a high of 159, a low of 156, settling 157, down 3.25. March, a high of 164, a low of 161.75, settling 162.5, down 3.5. November soybeans, a high of 534, a low of 522.5, settling 531, up 7.5. January, a high of 541.5, a low of 530.5, settling 539.25, up 8. March, a high of 549.5, a low of 539, settling 546.5, up 7. May, a high of 556, a low of 546, settling 553.5, up 6.75. July, a high of 563.5, a low of 552.5, settling 560.25, up 6.5. August beans, a high of 562, a low of 557, settling 561, up 7.5. October soybean meal, a high of 159.20, a low of 156.50, settling 158.50, up 160. December, a high of 162.30, a low of 159, settling 161.20, up 190. October soybean oil, a high of 21.13, a low of 20.70, settling 21.11, up 33. The December contract at 21.05 for the high, the low 20.58, settling 20.99, up 31 on the day. Settlement prices are also in on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, where, Tom, in that lean hog pitch, it was limit down for many of the deferred contracts.
Limit down on the everything but the nearby contract today. Thanks, Dave. Let's start with feeder cattle, first of all, though. September feeders had a high today of 115.20, a low of 114.85. The settlement at 114.95, it was down 20 on the day. October feeders had a high of 112, a low of 110.30, settled at 110.65, down 147.5. And November had a high of 110.85, the low 108.60, settlement at 109.10. That was down 180 in today's trade. Moving to live cattle, October live cattle had a high of 84.40, a low of 83.75, settlement at 83.80, down 67.5. The December live cattle contract, the high 87.25, the low 86.35, settled at 86.42.5, down 55. Over to lean hogs now. As Dave mentioned, down day, a pretty far down day for the far side contracts. October lean hogs had a high of 76.70, the low 75.30, settled 75.55, down 87.5. December lean hogs, the high 70.70, the low 68.82.5. That's where we settled at the low. That was down the 200-point limit. February, the high 67.85, the low 65.85. Settlement at the low, 65.85, down 200 as well. And April lean hogs at a high of 65.35, the low 63.92.5, settled at 63.92.5, down the limit. Pork bellies also limit down today, the high 135, the low 97.50, settlement at 97.50, down 300. And those are the closing numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Verde Gallery, currently showing Alchemy and the Stones of Brittany, sculptures and encaustic paintings by Tony Putnam. Also featuring The Acoustic Fusion, a new musical series beginning October 1st at 8 p.m. Verde Gallery, a fine art gallery, cafe, and newsroom at 17 East Taylor, downtown Champaign. On the web at www.verdant-systems.com. Be inspired.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Richard Brewer from Greenville, Tennessee wants to know, dear Dr. Science, is it true that if I play country music backwards, my lost dog will find his way back home, the finance company will return my truck, and my wife will stop divorce proceedings?
Sure, believe that if it helps. I spent a few months once playing the same Carly Simon album backwards, trying to see if it was really Frank Sinatra playing some kind of practical joke. Well, I guess the joke was on me because I ended up strapped to a bed in a padded room with some orderly coming in every few minutes asking me if I knew where I was. For some reason, the only words I could utter were Scooby-Dooby-Doo. Took a team of lawyers to get me out of there. So go ahead, do your little experiment if you're willing to suffer the possible consequences.
Thank you, Dr. Science. Send your science questions to Ask Dr. Science. Remember, he's not a real doctor.
I have a master's degree
in science.
Produced by Doc's Breath and distributed by PRI. To order the Dr. Science Get Smart Kit with CD and master's degree mouse pad $21.95, call 800-989-DUCK.
The path to handwriting success can begin with a small burrowing animal.
The gopher goes around, comes up, goes down, curls up in his hole.
Learning to make the letters link